The Shooting of Senator Kennedy. This is Bill Ryan, NBC News in New York. It was a familiar scene. It's been played thousands of times in thousands of cities, and it will be repeated this election year. The crowded hotel ballroom, the exuberant campaign workers waiting for their man to come before them and tell them about the victory they'd won, tell them how much their help meant, and how much more it would be needed for the final victory in the party convention in Chicago. Very early this morning, in the ballroom of the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles, Bobby Kennedy played that scene this way.
We have certain obligations and responsibilities to our fellow citizens, which we've talked about during the course of this campaign, and I want to make it clear that if I'm elected President of the United States, with your help, I intend to do that. I want to also thank all my friends in the black community. We made such an effort in this campaign. With such a high percentage voting today, I think really made a major difference for me. I want to express my appreciation to them. To my old friend, if I may, to Raper Johnson, who's here. And to Rosie Greer, who said that he'd take care of anybody who didn't vote for me. In a kind way, because that's what we are.
The two black men Senator Kennedy thanked for their help in his California victory were Raper Johnson, a gold medal winner in the Olympics, and Rosie Greer, a giant of a man who played professional football in a very professional manner. In a few moments, they were to serve the senator in a way no one ever dreamed of. Kennedy left the ballroom for a news conference. He took a shortcut, heading for the meeting with reporters. A shortcut that took him through a corridor leading from the kitchen behind the stage of the hotel ballroom. There was a man in that corridor, a special man, one with a gun. But no one was aware of that as Senator Kennedy walked into the corridor and was interviewed by Andrew West, a newsman for the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Senator, how are you going to counter Mr. Humphreys and his backgrounding you as far as the delegate votes go?
You can just go and start to struggle for it.
Senator Kennedy has been shot. Is that possible? Is that possible?
Is it possible, ladies and gentlemen?
He has. Not only Senator Kennedy. Oh, my God. Senator Kennedy has been shot. And another man. And possibly shot in the head. I am right here. Raper Johnson has a hold of a man who apparently has fired the shot. He has fired the shot. He still has the gun. The gun is pointed at me right at this moment. I hope they can get the gun out of his hand. Be very careful. Get the gun. Stay away from the gun.
Get the gun.
Stay away from the gun. His hand is frozen. Get his thumb.
Get
a hold of his thumb and break it if you have to. Get his thumb. Now let's get away from the barrel. Get away from the barrel, man.
Get the gun away. Watch the gun.
Look out for the gun. Okay. All right. That's it, Raper. Get it. Get the gun, Raper. Okay, now hold on to the guy. Hold on to him. Hold on to him, ladies and gentlemen. They have the gun away from the man. In this shot. They've got the gun. I can't see the man. I can't see who it is. But Senator Kennedy right now is on the ground. He has been shot. Hold him, Raper. We don't want another Oswald. Make room. The senator is on the ground. He's bleeding profusely. Now the ambulance has been called for. And the ambulance is...
Bring the ambulance in this entrance.
And... this is a terrible thing. Ethel Kennedy is standing by. She is calm. She's raising her hand high to motion people back. She's attempting to get calm. A woman with a tremendous amount of presence. There's a certain amount of fanaticism here now.
I can only say that here in the kitchen of the Ambassador Hotel, the senator walked out the back. I was directly behind him. You heard a balloon go off and a shot. You didn't really realize that the shot was a shot. And yet, a scream went up. Two men were on the ground, both bleeding profusely. One of them was Senator Robert Kennedy. We do not know if the senator is dead or if he is alive. This is Andrew West, Mutual News, Los Angeles.
As the senator lay there on the floor of the hotel kitchen, a kitchen employee rushed to help him. His wife Ethel reached out her hand to touch him. A priest put a rosary near the senator's hands, and a doctor gave emergency first aid. Among those in that madhouse of screaming, near hysterical, grief-stricken people was Wilson Hall of NBC News.
Until I began calling for a doctor for Senator Kennedy, the screaming sounded like female screams you hear at any rally for Senator Kennedy. The screams could have been that. The sharp pops could have been more of those balloons that had been popping around the ballroom all night long. For minutes, it was hysteria and chaos. Police hustled off a little man, fighting off a crowd who were trying to tear him apart. Kennedy and another man, Paul Schrady, a union official working with Kennedy, were lying on a floor of a small anteroom, lying there, bleeding from the head. Kennedy was conscious. He whispered to people to move back so he could have some air. He was holding a rosary. His wife, Ethel, very composed, knelt beside him, whispered to him. The stretchers came. It seemed like hours, but it was only minutes. Senator Kennedy was taken to central receiving, a police hospital. Minutes later, was transferred across the city to Good Samaritan Hospital. The surgery began. Wilson Hall, NBC News, Los Angeles.
Kennedy was taken to one hospital, then moved to another where emergency surgery was performed early this morning. Gene DiCardo, NBC News, reports.
Outside the Los Angeles hospital where Senator Robert Kennedy lies gravely wounded by a would-be assassin, a crowd of tight-faced men and women continues their long vigil. They were there during the strained 10 hours of brain surgery as 6 specialists worked to save the presidential candidate shot 3 times early this morning. At this hour, Kennedy remains in very critical condition. He's putting up a courageous battle to live, however. After the shooting, aides minister to the senator for the wild, panicky trip to an emergency hospital. After first aid and the administering of last rites of the Catholic Church, a team of skilled brain surgeons began the critical operation. Then Kennedy's press secretary, Frank Mankiewicz, made the announcement.
In addition to the damage done by the bullet, there may have been an impairment of the blood supply to the midbrain, which the doctors explain as controlling, or at least governing, a certain of the vital signs, pulse, heart, eye track, level of consciousness, although not directly the thinking.
Since then, there have been a series of bulletins and news conferences. Their content remains pretty much unchanged. The tests are inconclusive. Life forces remain strong. The candidate has not regained consciousness. In a makeshift gymnasium press room, reporters have gathered from all over the world, and they seem to reflect the grave concern reported from all over America. Gene DiCardo, NBC News, Los Angeles.
Dr. Henry Cuneo was on the team of neurosurgeons who operated on Senator Kennedy. Dr. Cuneo once studied under Dr. Lawrence Poole, a neurosurgeon at Columbia Presbyterian Medical Center in New York City. Doctors Cuneo and Poole spoke by telephone after the surgery this morning, and later, NBC News correspondent Edwin Newman had this conversation with Dr. Poole.
Dr. Poole, I think you spoke to one of the surgeons who operated on Senator Kennedy this morning, did you not?
I did shortly after noon today. And Dr. Henry Cuneo was one of the team of brain surgeons who I know. He gave me permission to quote to the effect that the injury was much more serious than it was at first supposed, and injured the cerebellum, which is the part of the brain dealing with the balance and coordination at the back of the head on the right side, and also the occipital lobe, which is the back part of the brain on the right side dealing with vision toward the left. And in addition to that, I was shocked to hear that there was a sizable blood clot in the head caused by the wound. that had caused a great deal of pressure in the whole head, and this was removed with the bone chips that were driven in and parts of the bullet that had partly shattered, but that one fragment of the bullet had lodged in the or close to the brain stem, which is the main cable connecting the brain with the rest of the body, and is one of the most important parts of the brain. So that, and in addition to that, Dr. Cuneo told me that the superior cerebellar artery, which is one of the main arteries at the upper end of the brain stem, or forward end, was torn by the accident. And this can also be a very serious matter, leading to trouble with vision and motion and life itself, because it may affect the circulation of the brain stem, which deals with life functions.
Dr. Poole, what you seem to be saying, and please correct me if I'm going too far, is that the outlook for Senator Kennedy is not very bright. Is that your professional conclusion?
I'm shocked to say that I fear that this is so, that from what I gather, putting the information together, that it looks very ominous indeed.
Now, when you say it looks ominous, sir, do you mean it looks ominous for his life or ominous for his complete recovery if he does survive, or do you mean both?
I fear, from what information I have, because I wasn't there, what information I have, both, I'm afraid.
NBC News correspondent Edwin Newman talking earlier today with Dr. Lawrence Poole, a teacher of one of the surgeons who operated on Senator Kennedy this morning at Good Samaritan Hospital in Los Angeles. There were other injuries as a result of the attack on Senator Kennedy. Four other persons were wounded, a fifth suffered a head injury, and the man who fired the shots was also hurt, suffering a broken finger and a sprained ankle in the struggle during which he was disarmed. Details on who he is and what Los Angeles police can reveal about him in this report from Joe Mossbrook, NBC News, Los Angeles.
The Los Angeles police acted methodically to carefully protect the suspect's constitutional rights. They tape recorded the interrogation. They made few reports to the public. Hours after the shooting, they identified him by tracing the .22 caliber pistol as 24-year-old Saran Saran, a native of Jordan who came to the United States from Jerusalem in 1957. Police Chief Thomas Redden was careful in his comments to reporters.
He refuses to make a statement of any kind. He does speak and understand English. The gun is in our custody. It's a .22 caliber, 8-shot, and all 8 shots were expended. As near as we can tell, there was only one person, and this information has been gleaned from dozens of interviews from people who were present at the scene.
Police Chief Redden said Saran was treated for a broken finger and a sprained ankle suffered in the battle after the shooting. The suspect was arraigned before Judge Joan Dempsey Klein and is being held under $250,000 bail. He's now under maximum security in a hospital ward at Los Angeles County Central Jail. When captured, he was carrying four $100 bills and what was described as an anti-Israeli clipping. The Secretary General of a group called the Action Committee on American-Arab Relations says the alleged assailant may have been inflamed by Kennedy's public support of Israel in the Middle East crisis. This is Joe Mossbrook, NBC News, Los Angeles.
Senator McCarthy, Kennedy's chief rival in the California primary, was in Los Angeles last night for the election results. He had this to say after learning the New Yorker had been shot.
It's not enough, in my judgment, to say that this is the act of one deranged man. If that is the case, the nation, I think, bears too great a burden of guilt to free of a kind of neglect which has allowed the disposition of violence to grow here in our own land and part of a reflection of violence which we have visited upon the rest of the world, or at least upon a part of the world. All of us must keep vigil with the nation in prayer and hope that Senator Kennedy will recover. Meanwhile, I'm suspending indefinitely all political activities.
The word that went out to all McCarthy headquarters throughout the nation was terse, a two-word order from the senator's campaign manager, Blair Clark. The order said, shut down. All the other major candidates have suspended their campaigns. Richard Nixon expressed his sympathy, saying he was shocked and appalled by the attack on Kennedy. Vice President Humphrey canceled an appearance at the Air Force Academy in Colorado, flew back to Washington, where he made this statement.
millions of other Americans and people throughout the world, I'm very sad and with a heart full of grief and sorrow over this terrible incident, this act of violence. I've been in touch with Senator Kennedy's family. I've tried to offer whatever consolation and sympathy I could. The senator is seriously, seriously affected and wounded. And I have nothing more to say except that I pray for his full recovery, for his return to active life.
Though there is no legislative authority for his action, President Johnson today ordered that all candidates for president be given Secret Service protection. The police chief of Washington, D.C. put his men on 12-hour shifts as a precaution. Although no specific reason was given for the move, it appeared to anticipate possible civil disturbances, such as those which followed the April murder of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. His Poor People's March is in the Capitol now, and possibly the members of that demonstration will feel the injury to Senator Kennedy more deeply and painfully than any other segment of the people now in the Capitol. A report on Washington reaction to the attack on Kennedy from Neil Boggs, NBC News.
Official Washington used action as well as words to express its shock and anger and sorrow over what happened in Los Angeles. First, there was the president authorizing Secret Service protection for the other presidential campaigners, nor did he wait for Congress to approve, though it promptly started the process. Then there was the House. After months of wrangling in House and Senate over the crime control bill with its now limited firearms provisions, the House moved rapidly. By a vote of 317-60, the House put the Senate version into position for a final congressional vote tomorrow. In doing so, it voted to bypass action by a conference committee rather than risk a further watering down of the gun control provision. That part of the measure isn't much to begin with, its critics say, and they include, ironically, both Senators Kennedy, who had held out for stronger gun control laws. Mail order sales of handguns, the kind used against Robert Kennedy, would be banned. Counter sales would be limited to persons 21 or older. For rifles, it was a rifle which killed his brother, the president, and for shotguns, no restrictions. The National Rifle Association has been one of the foremost opponents of tough gun controls. The association's Washington headquarters, not far from the White House, was the target today of an apparently spontaneous outpouring of citizen reaction to the shooting. About 200 persons picketed the building, office workers, students, union members, representatives of church groups, housewives, poor people from Resurrection City. It was a peaceful protest, ending as quickly and quietly as it began. The Rifle Association issued a statement tonight expressing horror at the assassination attempt, but in defense of its position, the association added the belief that gun control laws would have made no difference. Neil Boggs, NBC News, Washington.
It sounds almost brutally callous to say it, but there are political developments that will come as a result of the injury suffered by Robert Kennedy this morning. There may be a moratorium on campaigning as he fights for his life, but politics, as does life, goes on. An appraisal of the situation from Robert McCormick, NBC News, Washington.
All the major political candidates have suspended campaigning. There can be no question that they simply have no stomach for the grimy public actions necessary in a political fight. But the country's normal functions must go on, so the campaign suspension must be temporary. Where and how it resumes, in what direction it goes, is hard to figure. Assuming Kennedy is out of the campaign, what happens to those almost 400,000 convention delegates that he won fair and square in his five primary victories over Senator McCarthy? Kennedy himself had repeatedly talked of a common front with McCarthy. The philosophies of Kennedy and McCarthy so nearly coincide that their great confrontation on television and radio was described by Senate Republican leader Dirksen as the most amiable, affable, inconclusive debate he'd ever seen. So it would seem logical that McCarthy would try to win over the Kennedy delegates, and that many of the delegates might be quite willing. But then what happens to the minority groups and to the voters in urban industrial areas who flock to Kennedy by the thousands but who seemed to reject McCarthy almost out of hand. Even if McCarthy got a big hunk of Kennedy's support, his chances of stopping Vice President Humphrey in the Democratic Convention would seem remote. As of now, McCarthy and Kennedy between them have about 650 delegate votes. Humphrey figures he has at least 1,000 without counting uncommitted favored son delegations, such as that in New Jersey. So the Democratic confusion makes campaigning difficult for former Vice President Nixon when he has so little idea of who he's campaigning against. Robert McCormick, NBC News, Washington.
There are some who feel that Senator McCarthy's challenge to the administration's policies in Vietnam was one of the main catalysts which helped bring about the current talks between U.S. and North Vietnamese diplomats in Paris. A report on how the injury to Senator Kennedy might bear on those talks from George Lewis, NBC News, Paris.
At today's session of the Vietnam peace talks here, the North Vietnamese refused to comment officially on the shooting of Senator Robert Kennedy. Their spokesman said it was a domestic concern of the United States. To some, their attitude reflected Oriental courtesy, but more skeptical diplomatic onlookers suspected they were caught unawares by the suddenness of events and were reticent because they lacked instructions from Hanoi. In fact, some observers see Kennedy's shooting and the likely prospect he will have to retire from the presidential race as eventually affecting the talks here. They point out there's been a strong theory Hanoi would wait on the outcome of the presidential election before negotiating seriously. Kennedy has been widely viewed as the strongest contender who was also an out-and-out critic of the war. His removal from the race could change Hanoi's diplomatic strategy. For Europeans, the shooting represents another chapter in what they've come to think of as the American nightmare, what the French newspaper Le Monde today called the murdering madness. Pope Paul spoke in the same vein when he denounced the shooting as a reflection of the methods of crime and violence.
With sorrow, we have just learned that an attempt has been made on the life of Senator Robert Kennedy, who has received the last sacraments of the Church and lies in critical condition. We deplore this new manifestation, violence and terror, and we pray for the life and health of this young man who has offered himself to the public service of his country.
In Britain and elsewhere, horror and deep doubts about the future of American society ran side by side. President de Gaulle, who only a week ago was tottering on the edge of political disaster, brought up the shooting at a cabinet meeting today and expressed concern over its possible long-term consequences reaching even beyond the United States. The immediate reaction in many French quarters was that Kennedy's assailant may have formed part of a conspiracy linked to the death of Martin Luther King and possibly even that of his late brother. Le Monde declared that even if this wasn't the case, the fact is that with the single exception of George Lincoln Rockwell, all the recent victims of American political violence have been on the same side. Another newspaper, Francois, commented that the Kennedy family has paid a heavy tribute in blood to what it called the crisis of civilization, which involves the whole Western world. George Lewis, NBC News, Paris.
As George Lewis has indicated, there is reaction from all over the world, from high government officials and from the man in the street. Perhaps it is most appropriate that the reaction we present now comes from a black man, for Kennedy had a large and dedicated following among the Negro communities of the nation. Here is Charles Evers of the Mississippi branch of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People.
I couldn't believe it. I knew hate is in this country. I know how people are so against anyone who speaks out against evil and injustice in this country. And Senator Kennedy had the same feeling that his brother had and that my brother had, that we got to change this country and make it a country of all the people and for all the people. And America just not ready for that. Any man who stands up and speaks out for this, and be black or white, is subject to be killed. And he's going to be killed unless our country to change, and our leadership from the White House on down began to teach and practice more brotherly love and respect for all those who believe in America as it should be. I just don't know what to say. The senator is more like a brother of mine than just a senator because he and I are very close. I believe in him. I've taken a leave of absence from my job to work for him free, no pay, because I believe he's going to do what's right for all the people, not just Negro, but black and white, Mexican, and all the rest.
Charles Evers of the Mississippi branch of the NAACP, who himself has known the tragedy of an assassin's bullet. He lost his brother that way. President Johnson is expected to comment on the wounding of President Kennedy within the hour.